The NFL Combine just wrapped up. And to put it lightly, the Combine has gotten a little out of control lately.
People obsessing over the size of Joe Burrow's hands, which Anders, it turns out, are the same size as mine.
But guess what those 9-inch hands did last year, Skip? Threw 60 touchdowns.
Yep.
They did do that. So that's what I tell them. You know what?
People raving about how fast 300-pound linemen can run the 40-yard dash.
When he down blocks, he just takes everybody with him, and he's moving pretty good.
Oh, my word. Somebody that large running that fast is...
And a punter who bench pressed 225 pounds in front of a raucous crowd.
25 reps.
Today, The Athletic's Lindsey Jones, who has been at the Combine in Indianapolis, joins us to talk about how it has become such a bizarre spectacle and what events at the Combine actually matter.
They do MRIs, EKGs, CT scans. They go through hours and hours and hours. I'm not exaggerating when I say hours of medical information.
From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Anders Skelto.
And I'm Kavitha Davidson. It's Monday, March 2nd, and this is The Lead.
It felt like something great was happening.
There was just something about the emotion and that moment.
Go faster, faster.
The failures of the past don't matter because we've got this guy.
Are you kidding me?
I have never seen anything like that.
That's not good news.
This isn't a story where you interview the athlete and go home. It stays with you.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Lead ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner-operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
So, Lindsey, can you describe this scene and what it was like at the Combine down in Indianapolis?
So imagine the entire NFL world, head coaches, general managers, hundreds of scouts, thousands of reporters, team owners, Commissioner Roger Goodell, everybody in downtown Indianapolis all at the same time.
The tight ends will get us started off for our 2020 Combine today. And as we bring in Bucky and Lance, Bucky Brooks.
And oh yeah, there's players too. You know, Joe Burrow, the Heisman Trophy winner from LSU, Jerry Jeudy, a wide receiver from Alabama. I mean, there was just player after player after player. Everybody descends on downtown Indianapolis.
I'm just thinking of like when the draft was in New Orleans and you had a bunch of like unsuspecting tourists who were just in New Orleans, suddenly just surrounded by a bunch of football players. Is that kind of what it's like in Indianapolis?
There's other conventions that are happening at the Indiana Convention Center, in late February. And, you know, you'll see people kind of turn their head and say, is that John Elway? That is John Elway. Or, is that Andy Reid? Yep, that's Andy Reid. And because literally everyone from the NFL, they're all here, all at the same time.
And I heard a little bit of a freak out from some of our colleagues about the Starbucks at the JW Marriott.
The Marriott in the middle of one of the main hotels in downtown Indianapolis is kind of the daytime meeting spot, and it's under construction during the NFL Combine. So it's not just thrown off the reporters who hang out there as a way to, meet people from the NFL and have interviews and conversations on and off the record. You know, it's also a place that the league people go, and it's really, everybody is such in a routine when you come to Indy. You know, you go to St. Elmo's on Tuesday night, you go to the taco place on Wednesday night, and you always get your coffee at 7 a.m. at the JW Starbucks, and it's closed. So for creatures of habit like us, it's really thrown off the entire rhythm of the NFL Combine this year.
Well, so Lindsey, can you give us a little of the history of the Combine and, you know, when it was started in 1982, like who participated and what really was its purpose?
Yeah, so when the NFL Combine started nearly 40 years ago, it was not like this. It was not a giant spectacle. It wasn't about, you know, 40-yard dash times or putting the quarterbacks through their workouts or, you know, a place to hold the NFL's competition committees. It was really a way that, you know, teams thought that they could streamline the process of gathering the medical information that they needed on players coming through the draft.
And it wasn't televised. Like, there were no cameras anywhere. And now it's all over our TV screens. When was the Combine first put on TV?
2004 was the first time that the workouts were aired on NFL Network.
Stort Swigert, safety from Purdue, 6'2", 209. He ran a 4.49, which is excellent. He really helped his draft status this week in Indianapolis.
And even then, it was not a, you know, made-for-TV event. You know, they would show part of it. They'd show the quarterbacks working out, and they'd show some of the 40-yard dashes. You know, fast forward here to 2020, and the NFL completely shifted the schedule of the Combine to put the workouts in prime time.
Bocci's an inside linebacker. He's a real physical take-on player, which we don't see a lot of anymore in the college game. It's a good time. Let me give you the times here, Rich.
Well, and it's not just the workouts that are being aired. They're putting everything on TV.
You obviously had to gain weight to switch the positions. Yeah. So how did you do such a thing?
Well, it's funny you ask, Colleen. I did it through a lot of eating. And I think we have like something here
making
with
making smoothies,
yeah.
Perhaps, huh?
I think so,
Let's
yeah.
Let's go over here where, oh my goodness, there's a smoothie station.
Oh my God.
All right, what's the deal here? Why
I
these?
I don't mean in any way to throw shade on people who do enjoy watching the Combine. It has been 3 weeks since the Super Bowl. can we just not go 3 weeks without any kind of football?
Well, one of the things that the NFL does very, very well is they know how to turn everything into a major event. They've set up a huge fan experience here at Indianapolis where people can go in and, you know, buy tickets to watch the bench press. They have a, you know, a shop set up. There's, you know, booths. There are autograph hounds who hang out in the hallways of the Indianapolis Convention Center and outside of the hotels. And there are people, though, within the NFL that are afraid that the league wants this to be too much event and will take it out of Indianapolis and move it to Los Angeles where, you know, it'll be a even bigger spectacle. It really is an event. And, you know, this is a chance to really, the first chance that we can get to see these college players as they begin to transition to the NFL. You want to see how fast, you know, Henry Ruggs, who we believe is going to be the fastest wide receiver from Alabama, you want to see how fast he's going to run.
That was easy. He made that look easy. 4.28, can of corn.
Wow.
You know, it's become the made-for-TV event. You know, I think, the media has played a big role in that. You know, Rich Eisen from NFL Network, who hosts the NFL Combine coverage, he, I think, has participated a lot in the explosion of the 40-yard dash.
It started in 2005 when Terrell Davis essentially challenged me out of a fit of boredom to go out and try a 40-yard dash. It is now time, my eighth attempt at running a 40-yard dash in my suit and tie.
So at the end of the Combine every year, he runs his own 40-yard dash in a suit to raise money for St. Jude's Children's Hospital.
Personal best.
Personal best. Rich, I'm telling you, from the years I've seen it, your form, your intensity, the Beats by Dre, and Mayock's coaching.
And there were some changes to the drills that the players run at this year's Combine that a lot of people think were just purely for TV.
You know, instead of just having the wide receivers run through, you know, they call it the gauntlet drill, where they're running basically from sideline to sideline, catching a bunch of different passes at different angles.
Here's CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah, he's moving. You see how confident he is in his hands.
Now it's a timed event, and it never was a timed event before. It was really, you know, coaches wanted to see the way that they moved and their, you know, their hip movement, how their hands work, all of those sorts of things. But now it's something that is timed so that fans watching at home can compare receiver, you know, A, B, C through Z, you know, on a kind of an apples to apples situation. So there have been some changes made to, you know, maybe to benefit television. You know, honestly, the 40-yard dash, which is the marquee event at the NFL Combine, doesn't have that much to do with actual football. I mean, it's very, you know, it's really funny that offensive linemen have to run a 40-yard dash because, you know, if you ever see an offensive lineman in an NFL game sprint for 40 yards, something has either gone horribly wrong or he's sprinting trying to catch up with his teammate who has just scored a touchdown.
And so, Lindsay, how much does any of this stuff actually matter? Like, what happens at the combine that's actually important?
The most important thing that happens in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine is actually the medical information. So the reason that they started the combine in the first place actually remains the most important thing that happens here for these prospects, because they go through hours and hours and hours. I'm not exaggerating when I say hours of medical information. They go to a hospital in Indianapolis. They wait in line. They do MRIs, EKGs, CT scans. Then every team is able to give each of the prospects, you know, all of 300 guys that are here, a medical exam. And then the second most important thing that happens here is the face-to-face interviews that teams hold with prospects. So it's scouts, it's assistant coaches, it's general managers, you know, personnel staff that are, you know, sitting down and they're grilling players. They try to ask them, you know, difficult questions. Sometimes it's very football specific. Sometimes it's personality related. But, you know, while the NFL has realized they can, you know, make money by televising the 40-yard dash, the real business of the NFL Combine is happening behind closed doors in those hospitals and in those meeting rooms.
If you travel for work, you know to pack two suits, business and swim. You know with your Delta SkyMiles Business Amex card, buying that plane ticket for a business trip can get you closer to medallion status. You know that a meeting in Montana means visiting almost every national park.
Yellowstone? Check.
Because you're the chief excursion officer. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum Business American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/business.
So, Lindsay, isn't it fair to ask how helpful the NFL Combine really is? Because, I mean, first of all, there are plenty of players who have had really poor showings at the Combine and then have gone on to have great careers.
Sure. I mean, this happens all the time. I mean, you know, Terrell Suggs.
It's almost 20 years for me. This is my 17th year, and it's only my second opportunity to win one. It feels great to win another one, to be a two-time champion, and to be 2-0 in the Super Bowl. So.
Who now has two Super Bowls after winning one with the Kansas City Chiefs in February. You know, he kind of famously had a bad combine where he ran a very slow 40-yard dash, but he's gone on to have what should be a Hall of Fame career as a pass rusher. A couple of years ago, actually, Orlando Brown Jr., who's an offensive lineman with the Baltimore Ravens, the son of, you know, of a former offensive lineman in the NFL, he had one of the worst combines we've ever seen in NFL history. He showed up looking very overweight, very out of shape. He ran extremely slowly.
That's a historically bad time, and you're going to be simulcast with him a bunch this week.
Really became the butt of a lot of jokes on television and online, and it hurt his draft stock. He actually, you know, he was projected as a first rounder. He was not a first rounder, but fast forward to 2019.
Orlando, can you describe for me what the atmosphere is like at the Pro Bowl, especially having so many of your teammates here?
Oh, man, it's been great. It's similar to the locker room.
He was a Pro Bowler and one of the best offensive tackles in the NFL.
Well, and even, you know, we think of players like Julian Edelman who weren't even invited to the combine.
Did it bother you that you weren't invited to the combine?
I took it personal. You know, I think any competitor would do that. You know, I felt like I had good numbers in college.
Yeah, that's the other big layer to this is that, you know, this is a far from a complete collection of draft eligible prospects. Every year there are, you know, combine snubs. There are players who believe that they should be here. There are players who will be drafted who are not here in Indianapolis. And then there are players who are going to go on to star in the NFL who are not part of that group. And Julian Edelman, like you mentioned, you know, he's a, you know, a very prominent example of that. You know, he was a quarterback at Kent State. And, you know, so it was a little unclear when he was coming out how he projected into the NFL, and he did not get the invite to Indianapolis. You know, Malcolm Butler, who was, you know, the cornerback from the Tennessee Titans, he was not invited to the combine, and then he made one of the biggest plays in Super Bowl history as a rookie.
Play clock at 5. Pass is intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler. Unreal.
So for the players who don't get invited here, it certainly doesn't mean that you're not going to go on to play in the NFL. It just means you're going to have to show out that much more at your pro day. It's going to be just a little bit harder to get noticed by, you know, the collective NFL scouting community.
Well, then there are examples of players who were studs at the combine who went on to be total duds in the league.
You know, there are a lot of things, you know, impressive physical feats that can be performed at the combine, from, you know, how fast a guy can run in the 40-yard dash or how high he can jump in the vertical leap, you know, how ripped he might look when he has his, you know, when he has his shirt off at the combine. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a good NFL football player, because, you know, if you're not fast when you have pads on, it doesn't matter how fast you are when you run a 40-yard dash in, you know, in little track shoes. So there will be players who, you know, are very impressive here in Indy who we largely never hear from again. And then, like we mentioned, there are players who, you know, might not look that impressive here that are going to go on to be NFL stars.
And it's common now for many of the best players to sit out the combine, like Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa are doing this year. Has that always been the case?
It's always been the case that a player who is coming off of an injury wouldn't work out in Indianapolis, because a lot of times guys have off-season surgery right after their college football season ends or their bowl season ends. So, you know, in that case, they wouldn't be ready. But, you know, Joe Burrow, he's going to be the number one pick in the draft. I mean, there's very little question about that. There's nothing really that he could do in Indianapolis on the field that is going to improve his draft stock, and I don't think there's anything that he could do here that would hurt his draft stock as well.
You know, this process is all about talking ball, and, you know, the physical stuff they can see on film, but everyone wants to get to know you as a person and as a player as far as the mental side, and I feel like I'm really good.
Burrow explained his decision not to work out in Indy for the fact that, you know, he played in the college football national championship, and he had far less time to prepare. You know, he felt that that was more important and that he'll just go and throw at his pro day, which is a much more kind of controlled and player-friendly environment.
Well, so, Lindsay, do you think that teams can put too much emphasis on what they see at the combine?
If you're over-reliant on what's happening strictly at the combine, you would hurt yourself. So that's why it's important to have, you know, a really strong scouting staff and to be doing the football work all year round. And largely teams are doing that. If you fall in love with a player because, you know, he looks really good running the 40-yard dash, or because, you know, his routes look really fluid while he's running on the Lucas Oil Field, you know, field when he's not running against any defensive back coverage, then you're at the risk of, you know, making a big mistake. It's really up to these teams, these coaches, these executives to create a full picture. And the combine is an important part, but it only is a small part. You have to add in the pro day. You have to add in their Senior Bowl. You have to add in the interviews, the medicals, and then all of the months and months of college tape and games over, you know, 1, 2, 3 years that you've been watching.
So then what's the big takeaway from the combine? What can we learn from it leading up to the draft?
What the combine can do is either, you know, separate players who are close. You know, if there's two wide receivers who you think are, you know, very, very similar, you have very similar grades on them, and one runs a tenth faster in the 40-yard dash, you know, that's important. And it can kind of either reinforce or confirm things that you already thought, or it could raise a couple red flags. And I think one of the things that teams especially look at is if a guy shows up to Indianapolis unprepared, you know, that's a big red flag. The combine is really the beginning of it. And then it's how the teams take all of this information, all of these different pieces, and put that together is what leads to the next 2 months worth of speculation about who's going to move up, who's going to move down. Is it going to fall out of the first round? You know, which teams are going to try to trade? That's what makes this whole thing intriguing. It's that now it's really starting 2 months worth of, you know, really, really intense speculation.
Well, Lindsay, thank you so much. Football season started, man. You got a 3-week break.
Was it 3 weeks? I'm not even sure. But yeah, we're here. I mean, we're all in on 2020 now. So yeah, it's setting up to be kind of a really wild offseason.
Well, thank you so much, Lindsay.
Thanks, Kavitha.
You can follow Lindsay Jones's coverage of the combine, the draft, and the NFL at theathletic.com.
Here are some other stories we're following at the lead. The NFL's new collective bargaining agreement is still in limbo, but Tony Romo just got paid. signing a new deal to remain with CBS as a TV analyst for a reported $17 million per year. Not surprisingly, that large dollar figure set off a wide range of reactions.
Tony Romo is doing television now, and he gets paid more than Dak Prescott. At least four or five times.
Tony Romo makes more money describing what Dak Prescott is doing than Dak Prescott gets for doing it right now.
Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas weighed in on Twitter, saying in a now deleted tweet, quote, "That's why we shouldn't sign the new CBA agreement. No way the announcer should be making more than 90% of the players." Thomas finished up his post by writing, hashtag no.
Meanwhile, March is here, and so is the madness. In men's college basketball, number one Kansas narrowly held off the last place team in the conference, Kansas State, while number two Baylor was upset by TCU.
It is back-to-back Saturday losses for the Baylor Bears. TCU upsets the number two ranked team in the nation.
And the upsets didn't stop there. In the ACC, Virginia knocked off number seven Duke.
Jones for the win! Off the side rim, and Virginia survives!
And Clemson defeated number six Florida State on a game-winning layup.
Alamir Dawes down by one. With 3 seconds, Dawes to the basket. Gets the ball! Tigers by one! Ray, three-quarters court, no good!
Clemson the giant killer again, partner.
The NCAA tournament gets underway 2 weeks from tomorrow.
And finally, Liverpool's incredible undefeated run in the Premier League came to an end on Saturday.
Sloppy Liverpool! An 18-game winning run is coming to an end. They could be being beaten for the first time in 422 days.
The Reds were attempting to set a league record with 19 straight wins this season, but lost 3-0 at Watford. They're still expected to win the league easily, but between this defeat and a 1-0 loss to Atletico Madrid in the Champions League last week, they have shown that they are mortal after all. After the game, the Twitter account for Arsenal, which famously went undefeated in 2003-2004, tweeted simply, "Phew."
Thanks for listening, everyone. If you like our show, please remember to subscribe and tell your friends to check us out. From Wondery and The Athletic, I'm Kavitha Davidson.
And I'm Anders Kalto. See you tomorrow.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law & Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt, so throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.